Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
New England, 31-16.
Pats win 30-27.
You know what? Ooh. Screw it. I'm going Bears.
White, the angle, and the touchdown for the Patriots.
Trap game. Yeah, I don't know.
So screw the Patriots. Patterson is gone!
At the 30. And then I don't think the kicker is going to catch him. He could go.
It is a stupid hot dog move. Cross the freaking goal line.
1957, I remember it was.
If you don't kill them like they're a vampire and stick a stake through their heart and kill them, they will come back to life and make you pay for not putting them out of their misery with a silver bullet.
Stopped at the one! The Bears!
The Bears.
Chicago came that close.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Take care of his belly button.
All right, back here in OMF, we're down at Gillette, but we're talking both the Red Sox and the Patriots. We threw it all out there early on with the Pats. We'll talk more about them. Are you concerned about the defense? Defense giving up a lot of points. They gave up 31 in this one and almost gave up the Hail Mary pass because that was right there. I mean, that was on the edge. Harmon made that. It stopped that.
Yeah.
He stopped it. Without him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Bill was like, I can't imagine like feeling good about that play. So you catch it at the two. The only thing that was missing, the fact is that Kevin White was the only Bear in that area. If there's another Chicago Bear, and that we're like pushing the pile.
Yeah.
And just all you got to do is cross the goal line. Awfully close. And the only reason why he left that short is because Kyle Van Noy was able to slip the guard or the tackle that came out to block him, and he was able to put his hand in his face. Trubisky could have thrown that easily right into the end zone, but he didn't because he had to stop his arm motion from completing the pass. So that's why it was short. He's got plenty of arm to get there easily.
And the other thing too, I think Gordon was out there. Usually that's Gronk, right? It's always Gronk out there, and it looked like, you know, from behind, it almost like he was trying to catch the ball. Whereas I think one of the things they probably tell him is don't try to catch the ball. Try to, you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, if you can, it's right there. But from behind where he was, I think he could have jumped and just maybe tried like knock the ball down instead of trying to catch it. You know, sometimes it's not the best.
That was poorly executed. I was that guy. Like I was.
Well, you try to keep everybody in front of you, right? So if you think you're in front of the end zone, you're feeling pretty good about yourself if you've got the guy in front of the end zone, right?
The thing with Gordon is that's why I was asking Bill, because if you're out of position, you jump over the receiver. Kevin White, you're going to get a pass interference penalty, which they never call. They just never call it. I've seen it a million times. But Lou's right. The most important thing is to knock the ball down. What a lot of these guys try to do, they try and get this cheap reception, right? Or the offensive guy like a Josh Gordon, hey, listen, I got an interception today. I put that on my stat sheet. No, they try to catch it. They end up missing it, bobbling it. And then the trail guys for the Chicago Bears, they end up catching the ball. So the key is to knock the ball straight down like you're blocking a spike as a volleyball player.
Josh Gordon had some big plays with this team, but were you not amazed when the game was over? He actually said that the reason he was struggling down the field on that big, what was it, 55-yard play, that he was tired.
No, I wasn't surprised.
55-yarder, just an end cut. And unfortunately, got a little bit tired there at the end of that 96-yard drive. But, you know, it was fun. It was great. So I'm glad I got a good touch on the ball and was able to make some happen.
And the reason why I say I wasn't surprised is because it looked like he was. You know, when he caught that ball.
Oh, I thought he was hurt. To me, and no, I didn't think of. I didn't think
something
of,
was up.
You're right. He was tired, but you don't think of that with Game Seven. Well, these are NFL players, but he's a little bit different.
But you don't think about it. A little bit tired. When you have the ball in your hands, right? Like you know, after you run all out and score a touchdown, then you can put your hand up or whatever and be like, "Yeah, take me out." But you very rarely do you see a wide receiver or running back run with the ball slowly.
Chugging. He was chugging.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, it's like, take yourself out after the play. Score a touchdown.
Yeah, and also being that close.
Should have had the touchdown. To the,
like, usually you have a nose for the end zone. Right? What is he smelling? Well, forget it. I don't want to know what he's smelling. It doesn't matter. The fact that he kind of like, he just kind of said, put it in first gear. It was like, you know what? Somebody, it was like he was hoping somebody tackled him. Yeah. Somebody hit me. I don't have it. I can't get there.
See, that was nice, you know, but there was a couple of them. The fourth and one was huge.
Right.
The fourth and one, he's all by himself on the right. And when Brady dropped back, I'm like, oh, my God. It's like fourth and one. He's going to throw the ball deep.
Yeah,
now, I wasn't deep, you know, all out, but still 20 yards downfield. One on one, he just went out. Just took the ball from the guy, slammed his face on the ground.
Yeah, the helmet went flying off.
But see, that's another one of those third and whatever, a fourth down, like, trust throws to Josh Gordon, which is obviously kind of growing in, like, just one-on-one battles. Now, the route running stuff, okay, there may be some miscommunication still. Because I think the ball, remember the one in midfield that he kind of leaned over and caught? Now, was that a bad throw by Tom? Or did he stop? Did he go too far?
There was that one. And then there was another one on the sideline.
Yeah, that was a bad pass
another
by
one.
Tom, though,
both,
on the sideline.
But both
should have been
guys.
Caught.
But okay, but
Brady was hitting his own helmet on that sideline one on the side because he threw it behind Gordon. He could have still caught it, but he didn't throw it to the sideline. He was like, "I'm like, hitting his own head. Like I screwed that one up." Afterwards.
Oh, do you have that, Ryan?
Yeah, this is Brady talking about the fourth down conversion that Josh Gordon made.
It's a great play, and I just gave him a chance to go get it. And I think our confidence is growing and growing and growing, you know, through these days in practice and then as well as the games we're playing together. You know, I'm just excited to see where we're going. And, you know, we're doing some things better, and I think, you know, we can still do a lot of things to improve in the entire passing game. You know, that's what we're going to have to do as the season goes. We're still very early in the year, in my belief. You know, it's seven games in. We've got our biggest football ahead of us. You know, I'd like to see us have a great week of practice and then go to Buffalo and, you know, try to keep building on what we've done last month.
Yeah, so I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. Go routes, slant routes, in routes.
Jump ball trust routes.
I mean, that's it. So now you know. And he already had a touchdown earlier in the year, right, because he just basically threw it up. He's so just physically talented, and he's always going to be more talented than the other guy covering him. Right. That was Kyle Fuller that was covering him. That's some chump. That guy's been getting interceptions like crazy.
Correct.
A good defender. And so that was not a call it and run it to Josh Gordon. That was, okay, hey, look, eye contact, go. You're getting the ball. And he just threw it. Hey, go get it. Hey, listen, I gave him a chance to make a play on fourth and one when it would be so easy just to hand it off and let somebody just fall for a first down. But he goes up and lets him go up and get it.
Well, hopefully he's going to get in better shape in the next few weeks. And maybe the fact that I don't think he's ever played seven games in a row, maybe back in his rookie season.
The most important thing for him is to just not go out and celebrate. Yeah, I figured it out.
Well,
that's
it.
Hey,
who
wants to go have a good time? Woo!
See,
well,
that's always a concern.
Well, the last caller calling up and wanting to take a celebratory lap here. That's not what this is about. Nobody has ever disputed this guy's talent.
Yeah, but both of you guys, neither one of you guys thought he was going to have an impact. You didn't say 40 catches, by the way. You said 25.
Ryan,
because I remember sitting there saying, like,
he said, 25.
You got hit in the head.
He said 25 and like 300 yards.
I do think
Ryan,
he said,
I vaguely remember 240. I don't know.
We recorded it.
He's already got 225 yards.
Right, we will have that. Wait, how much does he have?
225 yards.
Damn, already?
Yeah, already.
Well,
so he's going
to
get about, he's
going to
get more involved. Don't you think? He's going to get 600-700 yards, maybe? I might have been off at 1,000, but you're three and a quarter, 25 catches.
Okay, so underreported, you overreported, okay? The fact is that what we...
So the fact is that they
really
have no choice.
No.
They're desperate right
now. That's right. And what you need right now...
By the way,
notice Bill knew everything about Amari...
well, when Gronk isn't playing...
His contract, we were talking to him off the air.
Amari Cooper?
He knew everything about it. So maybe they had some interest in Amari Cooper at one point, right? Maybe they had some interest.
But when you say like they're desperate, and why? Because Gronk was out? and they needed to throw the ball to him?
Well, the fact is that when Gronk is out, that's like 25% of your offense.
Okay, but Philip Dorsett's still in the house. Yeah, he replaced Philip Dorsett.
Oh, yeah, he took his job.
Okay, so Dorsett had one play yesterday.
Yeah.
It'd be different if Dorsett was hurt and Hogan was hurt, and you're like, they're stuck. They got nobody left. No, he's playing over these guys now. He's getting looks more than these guys now.
So you have a Josh Gordon prediction. Okay, now don't edit it.
I'm not going to edit it.
We
made these back in September, so these are over a month old now.
Okay, go ahead.
How many catches? How many touchdowns?
70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 90 touchdowns. 9 touchdowns. 90.
Sucker. You are a sucker. Such. 25 catches.
Yep.
Best case scenario is 25 catches.
I'll take the over.
3 touchdowns.
So you're telling me he's on the team for the rest of the year, does not screw up, does not get released.
Yep.
The rest of the year, you get 25 catches?
Yeah, you heard Bill.
Way over.
Well, you know, first of all,
we're back.
I changed that.
I don't think you did.
I changed that.
You can't change it.
Oh, did you change it on this Sunday show?
You can't change it once we lock it in.
No, we didn't. No, you locked it in. I didn't know you locked it in.
By the way, did you notice this? He picked the Bears on Friday. Sunday morning, he picked the Patriots with no Gronk.
You guys got to pay attention.
Let's get back to the phone calls. Here's Billy in Manchester, New Hampshire. What do you got, Billy?
You know, about 20 years ago when Stern was really good, you'd have to have these moments where you couldn't get out of the car. You'd be late for work because there was something going on every day or every week.
Yes.
And we managed to do that with Belichick and Lou. I mean, the hatred that he has for him, and Lou, I tweeted out to you and you got back to me, but the hatred he has for you, on an innocuous question, he is going to go to the Red Sox game tomorrow. He's probably going to go sit in the dugout, too, just to spite you. Because he was there a week ago. He was there, correct?
Yeah.
With the wife, and he was there, and it was a work day. And now this is the World Series. You're telling me he's not going to go? You offended him so much. It's just
apparently
I missed an appointment for 20 minutes because I had to go listen to this because I had to wait to see what questions he asked.
I knew right from the beginning I asked him a good question about Matt Nagy, right?
Yeah.
The offensive coordinator in Kansas City, did you see a lot that helped you prepare? And he's
last year, Lou.
Different team.
Last year, Lou.
I'm like, okay. You know, Christian, you asked the same freaking question. I'm done.
You know the only thing he was talking about?
It's not the question. It's how you ask
it. You know what he was talking about last year? He was talking about Alex Smith versus Mahomes now at the quarterback position.
There's great offenses in this league, and usually one of the great offenses is your team. And I'm curious, this team here, you talked last week of how difficult it is. Can't double-team everybody.
Yeah.
Can you compare this offense to any one you've gone up against in the past? You have to go all the way back to Peyton Manning because it seems like it's so explosive.
Who's working hard at this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it goes this week against the Bears defense.
Okay. That was disgusted chuckle. That wasn't like a Christian, you're funny chuckle. Whatever.
Yeah, thanks, Lou.
I'll ask my one.
Billy, but you should see the video of it. It's even better when you see the darting eyes back and forth. 617-779-7937. We'll be back with more phone calls talking about both the Red Sox and the Patriots today. Even though it's Patriots Monday, it's Red Sox Monday, too.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Standing in the back, Dave.
Chris, with starting pitchers reliant on the routine so much, your past 2 months have really been kind of broken up for a number of different reasons. How much of it has it been a scramble for you to get to where you need to be?
Yeah, we haven't been scrambling, I'll tell you that. But, you know, having these extra few days has been nice to be able to get back on that routine, you know, get a little bit more normalcy back into it, you know, getting my strength back and, like you said, getting back in my routine. Threw a bullpen yesterday, you know, leaned on Dana a little bit and got back to doing some things that made me successful in the past and, you know, try to carry that forward into tomorrow.
Chris Hale talking about tomorrow's game. That'll be us this weekend. In the back room, Christian. Christian in the back row.
We should
stay in the back, Dave.
Christian.
You just want to be there for one of those, don't
you? We should do that.
Christian.
Are we going to get media credentials?
We go to Bueller.
Yeah, you'd be able to.
I want to get like one of those old school fedoras and like put like a little.
Don't
put like
the
credential.
The credential you got for the first round. That's what you need.
How same is that? One? It same. Doesn't make any sense.
But that's a credential for Fenway Park.
Say it's the
Park,
ALDS
though.
On it. It's only was... for good at Fenway Park.
No, I think it's just for postseason. I don't know. Maybe there's a new one for the World Series, but it's for all postseason.
We do things differently in L.A., Lou.
Lou,
I don't know.
You,
if
got, you got your own special credential that's good for because you're in the booth.
You're special.
Oh, you guys
you're,
have different
Lou,
ones.
Lou, you you're the... special.
Well, I don't know what your credential says.
Don't let anybody tell you differently, buddy. You are special.
You know, Lou's not going to hang out with us at all.
No.
Like when we're in L.A. because. He's got his own wolf pack. He's got
Joe and Tim.
Joe and Tim. Hey, you guys want to go out and have get something to eat? Well, Lou, it's 8 o'clock at night, and yeah. We got to get to bed.
Joe, one good steak and Joe will fall off his chair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Him, 8 o'clock at night.
Give him some pasta and a glass of wine. He is out.
Can you believe it?
He's right. 5 o'clock games. It'll be over like 8:30, I would guess.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Wait an hour. Wait for the traffic to die down.
Out there.
People in L.A. will leave early. As soon as they realize they're not going to win the game, then they'll leave early. So yeah. We won't hit any traffic getting out of there. We'll be on the Sunset Strip in, you know, a matter of minutes.
What time did they show?
Hang it, we'll bang
third
it.
Inning? Everybody fourth inning?
No, yeah. Because here's, it's not because they don't want to get there on time. They do. But you realize 5 o'clock on a Friday. So Friday's the first game, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's game three.
That'd
Friday's
be correct.
Game three. There's no way that place is going to be packed unless you know, the players make some sort of plea for anyone who has tickets to their employers to let them out early so they can get to the game when it starts. That's what people in L.A. do.
Love it.
They
it's
do a it, World
they do,
Series.
They do it with the Rams. They do it with the Lakers. They're listening. Okay, big game. Like so, like, people here say, listen, get lubed up. Get crazy. Get fired up. Get drunk as much as possible. In L.A., they plead with the employers to let them out early so they don't hit all the traffic.
Yeah, start drinking early.
So we're going to be out there. We're going to do a Friday show out there, and apparently we're going to do Saturday and Sunday shows. I don't know the details, and I'm not going to reveal them because I guarantee you, knowing the company, nobody's been told back there. The people that normally work on Saturday.
We're going to get out there at some point.
Second that.
Who's displaced?
All I know is, as per usual, it's gone really smooth.
Yeah.
No hiccups whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
None so far.
No indecision. No.
No, we're good.
Everything's
good.
About money.
Everything's good. All right, let's get back to the Red Sox. Get back to the Patriots. Here's World Matt on a cell phone. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. You know, I don't know much, but I know Belichick doesn't like Lou.
Is it that? Hold on. Okay. Is it that obvious?
I don't know.
Honestly.
Do you see it, Christian?
I do. I told him during the break. I was like, man, I was just kind of playing along at first, but I don't think he likes you.
Yeah, man. I can confirm that.
No, I don't think it's the first question he asked was pretty much a softball question.
I thought so, too.
And it got met with a lot of disdain. And
Lou,
just,
how are we doing?
Good.
And that's him just being polite.
Maybe we should try this next week. We should come up with three questions that are all pretty much similar and see whether he's nice to you, nice to me, and evil to
I've already addressed that question.
Well, the key is, like, he has a really good relationship with you because you guys are somewhat peers, right? Same age group.
Yeah, you guys go way back.
You swim in the same pond, basically.
We go back. Yeah, you guys go way back.
We go back when he first got here.
You know, and I saved his career as a player.
Excuse me?
What? Yeah, you didn't hear about those stories?
I think it was that number 12.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Sorry. You know what? Doesn't matter. And Lou.
Whomever.
Lou. You know, it's just.
I don't know. He's still pissed at me for that Butler question week one.
He holds a grudge now.
Well, the Jimmy Garoppolo text.
It's two in a row. That's right.
You mentioned
in the middle of that question.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, what do you got?
In the middle of that question. Oh, sorry, Lou.
Go!
You're doing it on purpose now. No?
No.
All right. In the middle of that question, I could hear Lou go, oh, okay, and look down at his shoes, look away. I mean,
yeah, I just pull my seat back and I'm like, you guys talk to me.
You actually hear you looking at your shoes. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. I don't mind.
He
it's no big deal.
Eyes. He rolled his
it's
eyes.
It's no big deal. It's you guys can interview.
You can tell that Lou's not unnerved by it or anything. You know?
No, it's I'm like, actually no, not. No, I'm just at the point now where I'm like, all right, I asked the first question. I'm like, you guys do it. I'm good. Like, who cares?
I tell you what,
like, get him out of here and we can do our show.
I tell you what, 3 weeks from now.
What do I care?
Because you got Buffalo, Green Bay, and then you've got Tennessee. The Tennessee, you can bring up the Malcolm Butler question.
Yeah. Perfect. Coach, Matt Nagy, the head coach of the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, did you see a lot of similar things, maybe from what he brought in Kansas City that was successful against you guys? Did that help you kind of prepare for that team?
Well, I think we saw in Chicago a lot of offensive principles that they used in Kansas City last year, yes.
And did I feel like that helped you, similar?
Just well, what helped us this year was seeing the Bears this year because they're doing it with the players that they do it with. Mm-hmm. They'd already played whatever it was, six games, so
yeah, okay,
we had a pretty good We saw plenty of film this year.
No, he hates follow-ups. That's why I just had to
throw
it in.
That was much more valuable than last year's film.
First question, he was pretty nice. I thought he was pretty nice to you. And then the follow-up, you know, he just jumped. But the Malcolm Butler, you can bring it back here in 3 weeks.
Can't wait.
You know, Vrabel, there's a, you know, Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
No, it's all good.
Lots of connections there at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. How about your boy Mike Vrabel going for it, you know, at the end of the game?
That's dumb.
I thought it was dumb, too. So. It's not dumb. Like it's a home game in which you're sitting there going, it's a home game. We get the crowd here. This is going to – and it wasn't a great play. I mean,
terrible
play.
I don't mind the decision, but I hate the play.
The play was awful.
Yeah, but I just think that decision is for, like, Cleveland's 0-10.
Yeah.
You know, and there's seconds to go, and it's like, really? We're going to go to overtime right now? We're 0-10. We're getting blown out every single week. Let's go for two, and let's try to win this game right now. Yeah. You're a pretty good football team. And you don't want to go to overtime?
Yeah, but there's
a chance to win or get a tie. Like, you're in the playoffs. I don't think
he trusted his offense. I don't think he felt his offense could get himself seven, so they would have to play defense and limit the other team to they'd have to play a game of field goals. But it was a neutral site.
That's what I mean. It wasn't
neutral site.
It was a shootout.
But the worst thing is that you have Derrick Henry, you have Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
And it's 2 yards, right? I mean, that's all you have to do.
No. It was 1 yard. They moved it for the penalty.
That's right.
Yeah. So you're telling me you can't give it? They moved it to 1 yard.
You can't give it to Derrick Henry and have him fall a yard?
No clue.
Yeah. See, I don't mind. I don't mind the call because there is something to listen. We have the ball. It's a yard. Let's not leave it to chance. Here's our opportunity right now. You're telling me we can't get a freaking yard, guys?
I didn't like the call originally, and then when they got the penalty, I'm sitting there going, well, maybe Vrabel knows what he's doing because now it's only 1 yard, and you can't get that.
Well, listen, the only thing that was missing from his post game was from Vrabel's post game press conference was the whole Frank Reich. 10 times out of 10, I'm going for that. To me, that situation was like, okay, here's a young coach. You can obviously see like his players like him a lot. Like you see him in pregame. Mm-hmm. He actually works out the players. Like a head coach putting on this, like this is, there's this vest that they wear, and instead of it being like a big tackling number where you hold with two hands, they kind of put it around your chest, and the players hit the chest, and you can work on technique that way. Here's the head coach doing that. Like it usually doesn't happen, so I can easily see him going, you know what? My team's going to love me. You know, I'm a player's coach. Yeah, you know what, guys? I have faith in you. Let's win this game, and we'll have a great ride back. Woo, let's go. Terrible call.
Well, the thing is, if you saw the post-game stuff with the players were all supporting him. They were all backing him. Mariota, they were all saying, no, that's what we want to do. We want to win. We're not here to lose or whatever. That's all well and good. The problem is, what is your owner saying right now? Okay? You know, what are the people above you sitting there?
Privately.
What are they saying? What are we you need wins right now.
Okay, but let me put
it
this way.
I don't like
it. You have the ball on the 1 yard line, okay? What do you think? Don't you think the odds are pretty good that you can score from the one instead of, okay, coin flip, right? It's not sudden death anymore. So if you get a field goal, the other team gets an opportunity. If you get a touchdown, it's different. So you're telling me you can't score from the one?
Well, when it gets to the one, you can't switch, Christian. You can't suddenly, after the penalty, and it goes from 2-1, you can't sit there as it goes half the distance to the goal, sit there and say, now I think we need to kick. Once you've committed, when it was a couple of yards out, you're in.
That penalty helps you out.
You can change your play from the 2 to the 1.
Of course you can, but right. I said, but you don't.
I just didn't like, I didn't like what he did.
But you don't at that point,
do
you?
A few weeks back against Philly in overtime.
But why would you do that if you have half the distance to get the 2 points, suddenly change up and say, oh, we're only going for one right now? That would make
no sense. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, once you decide, that's fine. But you're talking about the play call. I didn't like what he did weeks ago against Philly. You know, not kicking a field goal, yeah. Like tying it up and right. Going for that win.
Yeah.
But you know what? He was praised because it worked. So I guarantee if they got that 2-point conversion, it would have turned into a freaking, they would have had a parade for the guy, you know, on every telecast of how ballsy he is and what a great call it was. And it doesn't work, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. I didn't like that one before. And this one here I thought was even worse.
Yeah, there's got to be some analytics out there would tell you when you make those risk-reward plays, how many of them work. Because you're right. He could do this 10 times now, and the odds may be 2-10 that it succeeds. Yeah. Then you're not so good.
But you're from the, you have the ball at the 1 yard line. Don't give it away.
That was a terrible play.
No, I didn't like the call
at all.
It
was terrible.
You have all these big backs. You have a scat back. You have a big back. You have all these big tight ends.
Empty backfield, right?
Yeah, it's like yes. Run. It's like you tell them there's only a couple things that they can do.
Right.
At least play action or something. Roll them out. And if the pass isn't there, then go ahead and run it with your quarterback.
Yeah, the only way you do it, you're right, is if you sit there and say, look at how they're lined up. We got the play. There's no way this play is going to fail. And he did something that really didn't do that. Let me go to Jim and Peabody. Hi, Jim and Peabody.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Jim.
How about that hot dog move by Cordell Patterson at the five? And after the game, the interviewing him, he sprays area.
Talk to Christian about that one because I had a problem
like
with
the,
it.
You didn't like the hot dog move, huh? Yeah.
I didn't mind the hot dog move. I just want to see the hot dog move in the end zone.
Were you bothered in the post-game interview because he had an earring in?
Well,
okay. Now we know. You don't like earrings in men.
What about Chris Sale's belly button?
He was putting his earrings in during the interview,
so
right?
What?
He had these. I agree with you.
That's fine.
Okay. Maybe the earrings were too big. You didn't like them. You wanted them to dangle. Like what? He had these big giant diamond studs in there.
Yeah. I like something dangling.
Excuse me?
Huh? Earrings.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus. Where's he going to?
I know where he's going to be hanging out.
Good God.
By himself.
By himself.
Yeah, that was angry lawn.
All right, Jim, you done?
Get off my lawn.
Are you still on the phone?
I'm just trying to give Jim his,
Jim,
his moment in the sun.
Call back when you sober up.
See, that was totally uncalled for.
Now hang up.
I hung up before that.
Okay, good.
That was uncalled for.
No, it wasn't.
For you to actually do
it's
that.
It's Monday, and the guy is still kind of dealing with some issues.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I would say this, that did you think Belichick sounded like he was thrilled about it?
I don't think he was happy with that.
Of course he's not.
No,
what are you talking about? I asked him the question. You didn't hear that great answer?
I
don't mind. Guys celebrating touchdowns.
Touchdowns is a good thing, Lou. Stupid jerk.
Yeah. I mean, if you asked it, I'm sure he would have given you a good answer.
I was going to ask
but
it.
But I asked it instead it turned into, I don't mind guys celebrating touchdowns. I like touchdowns.
This year was seeing the Bears this year.
Maybe that's what we should do.
Ask the touchdown question.
Have Lou ask the first question, then we just ask the same question again.
That'd be good.
See if he'll answer.
That's a good point.
See if it's different.
Change the wording.
See if we get a different response. No, I think it was stupid. 5-yard line, you don't celebrate, especially when you've already made a major mistake in the game, and you could celebrate in
what
the end zone.
What would you rather have? Somebody grabbing their crotch, jumping in backwards, or high-fiving their teammate before they cross the goal line? Which one would you prefer? Which one?
Manny Machado a crotch grab the other day. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about.
Okay,
no.
Manny Machado did that the other day. Did you see that, Lou?
I'm going to enjoy hating him, I think.
Oh,
we're
all going to hate him. That's the good thing about the Dodgers is that, and I think Puig has got some of that, too. He's one of those guys that's kind of a hot dog.
Puig's annoying,
bad.
But he's funny.
He's crazy.
He's just going to piss you off because he's doing it against
he's
you.
He's going to piss you off. He's right. Going to piss you off.
No, but he's nuts. Like he's nuts. He's a loose cannon. Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah.
See him like in the
Machado's
crazy.
Too cool. The too cool for school. Like the whole thing about the hustling. It's not my cup of tea. That's
stupid.
Not who I am. Been in the league for a while. I'm not going to be Johnny Hustle. It's like, dude, you're in the postseason. You know, and that's it. You're still not going to run a ground ball out. And just the whole thing is annoying. He's a great
trade for Manny Machado.
Machado, Larry.
He'll do something to piss you off.
Changed it.
He'll be grabbing double play ball, whatever. Be grabbing infielders. He'll be doing something.
You know, I'm surprised you think this is going to be a long series. I really think this is going to be a short series.
Six is long?
Six is long, yeah. I think it's going to be 4 or 5.
You think it's going to sweep?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sweep. I think it's going to be a short series.
Well, I mean, the last two series, I mean, they've only lost one game. I mean, they went on the road. So to think that they can't win 3 in L.A., I mean, the way it would go, you lose one at home. Sale or Price is going to, you know, give one up. And then you go on the road.
Out of three and come back and win it in game six. That's the way I think it plays out. I think their lefty-righty stuff is interesting. You know, their hitters, too. I mean, they got some left-handed pop there. Now, the starters and the relievers have pretty much been attacking one side of the plate. I mean, as far as throwing the righties for both Red Sox and Yankees. I mean, you had Didi Gregorius and Josh Reddick. You know, you didn't have many lefties. Gonzalez will flip it around. And all of a sudden, you're going to go into a team with 3 or 4 lefties with thump. You got a bullpen that's got 3 lefties out there. You got a rotation that's got 3 or 4 lefties. So it's a different look. And oh, by the way, your bullpen, you know, you don't have a lefty out there.
We do not. No.
So they got all these lefties. And I think Kelly's one of the best against left-handed hitters. So it's just going to be a different look. They flipped it around a little bit on you just because of their roster and who they have.
I just think right now, this team is doing what Houston has done to teams in the past. They just come at you in waves. They are relentless in that lineup.
Oh, they're going to win. You're expecting a sweep. Right. You know,
I think
it's
different
now, though.
Series.
Here's the thing, though. Even though they had They won the most games in Major League Baseball, franchise
16
record,
more than the Dodgers.
Everything like that, right? And yet, even against the Yankees, I felt like they were the underdog. Then they go against the Astros, even though they won more games. They felt like they were the underdog. People still didn't believe that they were good enough. Like their past was going to come back to haunt them. Now it's like they're the favorite. Now it's don't worry about the Dodgers. I feel like that to me is going to be an interesting scenario, right? Because this team is just wired a little bit differently. Almost like being the underdog, you know, benefits them.
All right. So let me ask you this: they've got two of the series, and it could be that the Yankees and the Astros are a better team than the Dodgers. I think you could make a serious argument that both of them are better than the Dodgers, and yet they lost only one game against each one of them in a 5 and a 7 game series. Has Mookie Betts lit it up yet? Nope. That's going to be your MVP. Your runner-up is going to be J.D. Martinez. He had a couple hits in that last game. Has he lit it up
yet?
Yeah,
you know, he didn't light it up, though, just to Mookie, though, but he saved your ass a bunch of times. He made some unbelievable...
In the field.
Which is, yeah, I mean, I guess you don't get as much credit for that, but I get...
But he wins the MVP because of his bat.
Mookie Butts bailed his ass out.
Okay. I've got to believe he's not going to have a third series where his bat is silent, is
so
he?
What, hold on.
Or J.D. Martinez with the power?
Well, that's
what
one
you're
thing.
Saying is, hold on, Lou.
The deuce.
Ooh, see, he said it first.
I'm learning.
So
I'm
Mookie
learning.
Betts is
I'm learning. It both do. It both do.
Well, it's just, and it's, then I yeah, look at, I think he'll have a big, I think he'll have a big series because it's not going to be right-handed power with breaking balls off the plate like J.D. Martinez, the same thing. It's not going to be lefties.
Right.
You know, they're going to be bringing things at you. Kershaw, deception, he's no longer 96, 97. He's 92. But he's deception. You don't pick the ball up. Great breaking ball. Great slider. So things are coming at you as opposed to J.D. Martinez. When you think about it, you elevate fastballs up and in, breaking ball soft down and away. You know, Mookie Betts keep the ball away. But when lefties are doing it without the power that these guys have been doing in the past, I think both those guys have huge series.
There you go. If
against
they have,
this team.
If they have a huge series, it's a short series. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Talking both Pats and Red Sox. What a week here in New England.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
In terms of Mookie maybe playing second base, is the fact that there aren't as many conventional double plays with the shifting have any kind of role in it that he might be less likely to, you know, be in harm's way or anything?
Maybe. The thing is that in the National League, they bunt, you know, and then they advance runners, and we gotta talk about all this stuff, you know. Today he's going to turn a few double plays, but like I said, there's a chance, but it's not like he will. But we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. If one day I feel like, yeah, that makes sense, we'll do it.
Oh, Alex Cora is just playing them with this thing. Playing them. First of all, you're not going to start him in a game, even the game 3, 4, or 5. I there's no need to. I don't understand it. You either sit Benintendi or you sit Jackie Bradley Jr. He's already said that J.D. Martinez is playing every single game. And things like that to move people around where he might want to make sure that he keeps the bats in the lineup. So think about it, Lou, late in the game, defensive purposes, it's not an advantage to move a guy who doesn't play second base regularly to suddenly be in a key part of the game to make defensive plays.
I don't think late.
And, no, and to have J.D. in right field. So you're basically weakening yourself in two positions.
Listen, the National League game is weird, okay? And that's what's going to make 3, 4, and 5 awesome. You know, because you're going to sit there and Price or Sale or whoever, right? There's going to be in there Valdi, Porcello, whoever's 3, 4, 5. And they're going to be throwing the ball well, and he's going to pull them after 5.
Right.
So you're an idiot. You know, how can you pull the guy? He's throwing the ball well. It doesn't matter in the National League. Because if the game's 1-1, he's coming out of the game. So in a double switch spot where now you're really moving guys around and you look at your bench and you're really short and you're trying to figure out a way to kind of keep a pitcher involved or pinch hit, you want to keep that guy involved, depending on the offense and the matchups late, yeah, maybe he sees second base. I just don't see it happening. I mean, and if it does happen, I don't think that's going to be a good thing for your team because it's happening because you're not scoring any runs and you're down 2-1 or you're down 3-1 going into game 5 or, you know, or whatever it might be.
and he's making a move just because he needs to.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
We double switch seemingly all night long.
Oh, could you imagine Farrell in this one? Could you imagine us sitting here talking about the possibility
of
pitch playing?
The thing that would surprise me is that, like, you know, they don't really have ground ball pitchers. Really, when you think about it, the ground ball is kind of like, you know, third base gets a lot of action because a lot of the guys, the lefties, throw cutters away that they'll roll over or, you know, whatever, off speed to righties, lefty, righty, and ground roll over to third, and we saw that. They're a strikeout, fly ball type of team. But I know how important double plays are. I mean, Alex Cora told us a while ago how important that they are, and it's one of the reasons why he said Kinsler will most likely play a lot in the postseason. Now, that was an adjustment as well. You know, I think he went to Kinsler more than people would have liked. But the importance of turning a double play, that's got to be turned. You have this? I think it was right at the end of the year before the playoffs started.
You know, we know the plus that Ian brings defensively in the playoffs, also in the regular season, but you have to turn double plays. Yep. You know, that's very important. You know, you have to prevent runs, and he's the best at you know, you look at the numbers. Right now, he's the best in the league preventing runs.
Well, that's why Kinsler's out there playing second base. It's not because of his bat. You know, he got a couple hits his last game, but it's because he can turn a double play. You get a ground ball, it's got to be turned, period. Period. End of story. Bases loaded, one out. Ground ball, who's going to stay in there and turn a double play? Kinsler.
Yeah.
You going to put that on Mookie?
No.
Now, again, the ground balls, this is where the whole advanced scouting thing comes into play. You're going to look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they're going to say fly ball to ground ball rate. You know, these guys hit the ball in the air an awful lot. They strike out an awful lot. Okay, so are there going to be a lot of ground balls? As he mentioned, pitchers will be bunting a lot. They'll be moving runners a lot. They do a lot more of that stuff than maybe an American League team does.
It's a totally different game.
So now your second baseman sitting there, first man on first, nobody out. All right, how comfortable is he to being close enough to second to be able to be there for a double play, but yet when the guy shows bunt that he can get over to first base and cover at the same time? Just the different actions that he's going to be asking them to do.
I actually heard this morning. So Mutt was talking about, like, because the big decision, at least that's what a lot of people are talking about, is Mookie Betts playing second base.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Ian Kinsler turning two, right? So I heard Mutt this morning talking about how he didn't want Mookie Betts playing second because
he thought
Machado would take him out.
No.
Like, being the dirty player that is, why take a chance of having Mookie Betts at second when Machado can take him out? Now, I'm not going to put it past Machado to try and do some cheap stuff and, like, trying, you know, hurt somebody because that's who he is.
Take out Bogarts. Can take out anybody, right?
The point, but in that same time, you know, Mookie Betts, so if Brock Holtz can be a utility player and basically play every single position, why couldn't Mookie Betts play every single position? Like, if you're good, you're good.
No, he can play second base, Christian, but do you want to put him in a key point of a game where he's not instinctive at that position? It's not like he does that every single day.
No, I would say the last series
you could play another position in football, but if you're just going to do it without doing...
Well, I think baseball is different. I think it's like I can't play center. Like, I'm like physically not capable of playing center. Like, I can't play tailback. But Brock Holt can play third. He can play second. He can play first base. He can play any place in the outfield.
But he does this. He's played different positions, so he's got some experience in doing it. I mean,
I get it. My point is that what I saw in that series against the Astros is that if you have a bad infielder, how badly it'll come back to haunt you.
All right, here's the Brock star.
Like, the plays that Devers gave up, Nunez, like, just what a liability those guys are at that position.
So why would you put a guy that's unfamiliar with playing the position in there?
I agree. Well, then, what is your lineup to keep your best players out on the field?
But what is the game?
Do you do?
Well, hold on. We're going to do this to keep what? Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field?
He's
that's the reason we're doing it?
He's
Stop it.
MVP.
He had three big hits, and I know
very
that he's
big
a,
hit.
He's
He is a
streak hitter. We all know that. But I'm not going to put I'm not going to do that just to make sure that I have Jackie Bradley Jr. And that's what people are doing. They're looking at this last series and they're saying we can't take Jackie out of the series. We can't do that. You're going to have to take him a couple games and maybe Benintendi one game, depending on, you know, splits against that pitcher.
I would not be surprised at all. Now, Cora says that, you know, it could happen.
Lou explained it, though.
Yeah.
It could happen. And when you're doing double switches and you're messing around with your lineup, it's National League Baseball. Matter of fact, I think it's a joke that we actually do this anymore, that the National League plays with totally different rules than the American League. And those rules, Lou, force you to play the game much differently, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I'm trying to figure out how it would probably work, you know? I mean, if, like, Mookie's in center field and JD's in right field and the pitcher's coming up and, you know, you want a pinch hit, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. and keep him in the game defensively. You know, I guess maybe you double switch with, like, say, Kinsler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Mookie goes to second base. And then late in the game, you know, if you get the lead, now all of a sudden Holt comes in, you know, at second base for J.D. Martinez, who's out in right, and Mookie goes to right field.
See?
So now you go down. So, and that's the whole thing. So
and that's just what Coors looking at.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
And one good thing for Coors too is that, like, you know, the double switches usually happen 6, 7, 8 in the order. You know, in other words, if, like, the sixth hitter gets out first, yeah, it makes the last out. Now all of a sudden the pitcher comes in. So who's sixth? Is it sixth Kinsler? No big deal. I'm going to pinch hit, but I might be able to pinch hit Jackie Bradley and move Mookie to second base rather than just pinch hit Holt and put him at second base. Right. So I can keep everybody in that lineup, especially when the top comes around, right? So you're able to do that. But 6, 7, 8 is going to be in some order, right? It's going to be Kinsler, and it's going to be your Holtz and your Nunez and your Devers and Leon or Vasquez. So he's going to have the ability to make a simple double switch with any one of those guys to pull them out.
Yeah, I think if you get to the eighth, ninth inning, depending on where they are in the batting order, if you're playing with a one-run lead, two-run lead, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see JD out of the game and then go with that defensive outfield.
Yeah, so
in that situation.
So if it's late, you know, and you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm going to keep everybody in the lineup because nine-hole hitter's up second. I'm going to put Jackie the nine-hole hitter, and I'm going to have Mookie and AB and Bogarts and JD coming up that next inning in the eighth. You know, if I pull that lead, now I can put Brock Holt in for JD, and I get my best defensive team because Mookie's going back out to right field. And I'm only putting him out there at second base for one inning,
yeah,
or maybe two innings,
yeah,
and then I switch back to my defense.
That's why I think this whole thing is stupid, the way they play the World Series and the way they play baseball. American League should play by the National League rules. We either play by the National League rules, all National League rules for all of baseball, okay, both leagues, or you play with the American League rules and everybody plays with the DH, which I would rather see only because I'm an American League fan. I've seen more American League baseball.
You guys, I've told you this. I have an issue with baseball overall. First of all, every single park is different.
Yep.
Why can't they all be the same? I get it, right? But I mean, as far as like the way the game should be played, and then now the rules are different.
Wait a minute. Football, the parks are different too.
No,
the dimensions are the same.
Every field is 100 yards.
Okay.
I'm talking about the playing field.
Let me finish. The dimensions are the same. But what is it, the difference of playing a game in New England in late January versus playing in Indianapolis in late January?
Okay, don't get it twisted, okay?
Weather. That's not twisted.
The field is 100 yards.
You can't handle
yards,
twisted.
Okay, no, I can handle it. It's 100 yards. And it'd be like, okay, so the AFC versus the NFC. Right, so the NFC says, you know what? We get 5 downs. Like we're playing Canadian rules.
Our kicker's got to play quarterback for one snap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we force our kicker to play center. Like this is so stupid.
It is
so. It is so dumb.
Well, the infields are the same.
No kicking.
Everywhere.
You get one league.
90 feet.
Yeah,
I know. But the
60
way
feet,
this,
six
you
inches.
Know, even like comparing Houston's ballpark, Minute Maid Park, to Fenway Park, Dodger Stadium, New York with their short porch and everything else that goes.
See,
along
some would
with
say
it.
That's the beauty of the game.
I guess whatever. To me, it's like, it's not practical. It isn't. It doesn't make any sense. And then the managers / coaches dress up in uniform.
That is strange.
That to me, everything about this.
Would you like to see Bill come out with like a helmet and shoulder pads?
You know what I really want to see? I want to see Brad Stevens in like a 1970s shiny Celtics gear.
Yeah,
pull the socks up, shiny green. Yeah, that's what I want to see him in.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. I just think it's crazy the way that, because Lou's just describing it. And obviously,
you have
he's
to deal with that.
And obviously, Lou is really good at this, but he's given you the difference. The National League, it's going to be so foreign when you see those three games, those three middle games in the National League ballpark, and the strategy is much different. And that's all I think Coors is doing is, yeah, he wants the flexibility to be able to have him available at second base because there's a possibility with a double switch and everything you're going to need
for an inning or two. And that's exactly
how I could see him
at second for the inning. You know, or two. Because I want Jackie hitting ninth for the pitcher. Then I want Mookie up second or third that inning. I want JD up fourth or fifth that inning. And if we get the lead, if I'm able to do that, you know, then the guy, the Jackie, you know, the pitcher's now hitting sixth or seventh. By the time we get there, now Brock Holt is the pinch hitter. I'm moving that spot again because Holt goes to second. And then Mookie goes back out of right field. And JD Martinez is on the bench. So
know.
It's, listen, I I think it's crazy that they have two different rules, but I tell you, when it gets to the National League game, I absolutely love it because it just moves left and right.
Well,
and people are trying to figure out, why the hell is this happening? Why is that happening? Why aren't they? So why don't they double switch here and they double switch there? So the whole thing is just
great. I'm good with it if they make the whole league. Major League Baseball all has the same rules. Then we don't play the stupid game. They play too many games, interleague games right now, where it's all stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you're worried about pitchers hitting, Rick Porcello, 439 this year with two doubles.
They got a couple guys, too, though. Kershaw can swing it.
He can.
And Ryu can swing it.
All right, 617-779-7937. We get to your phone calls coming up next in the final hour.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.